Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is for college recruiting fans.
What a run! He's got a lane!
The inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec. Brought to you each Thursday at 7 p.m. by Power Rents. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080.
Hoo-wee.
The Fan.
Hello and welcome to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. We had a busy week, and I think we're going to have a busier month, especially if you're an Oregon Ducks fan on the recruiting trail, because I think more commitments are coming, potentially a couple of big commitments. I know Oregon, as Rivals said today in an article, Oregon has lots of quality, but not a ton of quantity yet with their recruiting class, the class of 2021. I think that changes here in the next couple weeks. I could see a few different kids committing here very soon. I know they're in the mix and very high on the list for five-star wide receiver Troy Franklin, Kingsley Suamatatia, the cousin of Noah and Penei Sewell, is one of the top 60 kids in the country. He's an offensive tackle. I imagine if you're in that Sewell family, if you're in that Sewell family tree, maybe you're in a different branch, but if you're an offensive lineman going, where is this family tree had success at the college level? You're probably taking a long look at Oregon and saying, hey, both the Sewell boys are happy. Penei has a chance to be the number one NFL draft pick. I feel comfortable going there. The case basically right now is that Oregon has done a great job already with offensive linemen. Even if they don't get Kingsley Suamataia, they already got Jackson Light, who's an Under Armour All-American center. And this week, the day after the show, on Friday actually, they landed Bram Walden. Bram Walden is a four-star offensive lineman and Adidas All-American. Oregon seems to have become, I hesitate to say they're O-line U, because let's face it, some of the guys that have come out of Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan and those programs, truly, truly elite for a long time. Wisconsin's another one that's up there, and I think criminally underrated when we talk about producing NFL talent. Wisconsin's a great program, and it goes beyond offensive linemen. They've produced a number of tight ends. They've produced some great running backs. They've produced, obviously, Russell Wilson, who started at NC State, but we're going to give him credit in Wisconsin having him for his senior year, taking him to a Rose Bowl. Wisconsin's an underrated program. Oregon belongs up there, though, in terms of recent production of offensive line, and people don't really realize how difficult right now it is to recruit linemen. The West Coast, if you look and you talk to coaches about what the most difficult place is to recruit for the West Coast schools, it's running backs. There's just not a ton of them. There's not a ton of explosive 6'1", 6'2", or even those 5'10 guys that are 210, 220 and run a 4.4. We just don't grow a ton of them. A lot of scat backs come out of the West Coast, but not a lot of those every down backs. And the West Coast just doesn't produce a lot of offensive and defensive linemen. So for Oregon to say, hey, we're going to take a national approach and go get guys the last couple years has been really impressive. And now we're seeing the Pac-12 follow suit, where USC, Washington, Arizona State, they're all trying to go coast to coast to recruit offensive linemen. And here you have Oregon ahead of the curve, having already done it for a couple years. And they go ahead and get Jackson Light, again, an Under Armour All-American center. They get Bram Walden. They're probably the favorite for Kingsley. And they're in the mix for Jonah Miller, who's one of the top 10 to 15 offensive linemen in the the country. He's a 6'8", 270-pound offensive tackle who moves real well, probably more of a right tackle than a left tackle. But when you can recruit line on the West Coast and in the Pac-12, it really does give you a leg up because they're hard to get right now. And you look at a program like Oregon State, who's not quite as far along in the recruitment hierarchy. They have a little bit of a harder time. And you look at who they've had to go get. They've at times had to go get guys who were like second team All-State, borderline first team All-State guys at the 3A, 4A, and 5A level in Oregon. It's tough to find them. It's tough to find good athletic bodies that are 6'4", 6'5", 6'6", 300 pounds. Well, and when we look at the landscape of recruiting, not only are offensive linemen hard to get on the West Coast, but when we look at trends, one of the biggest trends right now in recruiting over the last 10 years is the size of interior linemen. You used to be able to go ahead and get yourself a 6'1", 260, 280-pound center. He could be 6'2", 6'3", at guard at 275 pounds, and that was fine. Now those guys are 6'5", 6'6", 6'7". Dawson Jaramillo was huge coming out of Lake Oswego a few years ago. 6'6", 285, 290 pounds. He got up to 310 pounds. He plays center for Oregon. Those guys are getting bigger and bigger, and the West Coast just isn't producing bodies like that. So to be able to go like Oregon did this week and pull Bram Walden out of Arizona, and he's an Adidas All-American, that's absolutely huge. Not just because he's a great talent on his own, but the drop-off from him to maybe Arizona State and Washington get the guy number 2, 3, 4, 5, and we get down to number 7, which is more of what Cal and Arizona are getting. I'm talking about 7th best guy on the West Coast at the offensive tackle position. You're dropping way down. I don't think people realize how big a get Bram Walden is. Even though his ranking's high, it's huge because the drop-off, if you don't get him, is pretty massive.
Well, if you want to talk about one of the most successful offensive linemen, to come out of Oregon State, that was a walk-on, it was Mike Remmers out of Jesuit. Remember, yeah. Mike Remmers was a walk-on at Oregon State.
Right.
And he was, man, I played with that guy. He was thin as a beanpole when it came to being an actual tackle, but he was athletic. And the coach recognized something in him and knew if you could just put a little bit of weight on him that he could become pretty effective. Well, you know, the guy just played in a Super Bowl with the Carolina Panthers is all, and has had an extended NFL career where he's making millions.
He's done a tremendous job. We should not on his resume mention that Super Bowl. I bet there's a good chance he'll never want to mention that Super Bowl.
Yeah, the whole Von Miller thing.
Because Von Miller ate him alive. But you know what?
Who's going to go up against Von
Miller? Ate everyone alive that year. I mean, that was one of his big years.
Von Miller was like the Dwight Freeney of his time. In a certain way. Because you remember Dwight Freeney had that sick spin move where it was like, you just throw your arms up. You don't know what to do.
He's bigger and better than me. Nothing I can do. Isn't that how it goes? I mean, that's Oregon State. Good news for them on the recruiting trail. They got Easton Mascarenhas last week. And we'll get to Easton Mascarenhas because I'm not real happy with Rivals when it comes to his ranking. But we had Sam Vilek on the show last week, right after Easton Mascarenhas. We talked to him about deciding between Montana, where he was currently committed, or he was committed at the time, and Oregon State. We talked about it after the interview, that there was a good chance he flipped. Sometimes I don't have these guys on for no reason. Sometimes I just have a feeling.
Oh, yeah.
But Sam Vidlak flips to Oregon State, and I know, you know, listen, I hear Oregon State fan, and I hear even the naysayer Duck fan who says, oh, he chose Oregon State over Montana. Good for him. This kid is a hidden gem, and of course he's from Hidden Valley High School, so it kind of makes sense. It's fitting that he's from Hidden Valley High School out in Grants Pass, but Sam Vidlak is a monster. 3,400 yards, 43 touchdowns, 3 picks during his junior season, and this was a kid who flew under the radar. He's at a small school. This was going to be his breakout spring. He hadn't done a lot of camps. He came into high school as a 5'7", 120-pound quarterback. 5'7", 120. That's tiny. And he thought, if I put it all together, I maybe have a chance to be an FCS guy. Well, he's grown into this 6'2", 285-pound athlete. By the way, legitimate borderline scholarship offer, partial scholarship offer guy for Oregon State baseball. That's how good an athlete he is. We're talking about one of the top baseball recruits on the West Coast if he just would have played baseball. That's how good an athlete he is. And then he's the state player of the year in football, leads his team to the state title game. He's a big-time talent who kind of got lost in the shuffle because he'd never done camps and he grew late. But Alex Brink worked him out. Alex Brink played for the Washington State Cougars, was a star there, went and played for the Houston Texans, threw balls to Andre Johnson. He knows what you need to do. He's a private quarterback coach. He helped develop Eric Dungy. He's worked with a bunch of the quarterbacks that have made it out at the state of Oregon in the last 5 to 6 years. I think of the guys, I mean, he worked with the Elite 11. Of the quarterback guys in the state of Oregon, I think he's the best private coach we've got. He might be the best private coach in the Northwest, and he made a point of reaching out to Sam after seeing him throw at a camp at a 7-on-7 event. And it was like, hey, I just want to watch you and get a clear picture of what you are. And if you read my article that I posted, he said, I haven't seen a guy spin it that effortlessly in a long time. He might be as physically talented, as much arm talent as we've seen in a while coming out of Oregon. This is a guy who's not a reach. This was a great find by Oregon State. And I think it's really important to understand the difference. I think it's fair to knock, if you're an Oregon State fan, it's fair to knock them when they get a two-star guy and they go, well, they missed on 17 3- and 4-star guys and it's the end of the recruiting cycle. And darn it, we took this two-star kid from 3A football. Who knows if he'll pan out? Fine. You've got that complaint. I've had that complaint. But it's really important to understand the nuance of it when that's not the case. This was a great job by Oregon State. You know how I found out about Sam Vidlak? Is different people saying, this kid is a Pac-12 player and no one knows about him yet. And then Oregon State, Sam told me, Oregon State's in contact. That's how I found out that he was a Pac-12 player, is Sam's like, hey, Oregon State's on me. And I was like, wow, really? I mean, I've seen the film and you're good. I just didn't realize you were that good because I hadn't seen him in person. So this is a great job of recruiting locally and going to Hidden Valley High School in Grants Pass to find talent that fits your need. And I think Sam Vidlak hasn't had elite development, but I do believe that arm talent will play. I believe that athleticism will play at the Pac-12 level. And again, there's times where you reach down and you say, oh, two-star quarterback, we reached. And there are times where you get a two-star quarterback or a two-star player and you go, man, we found the guy before everyone else. So yeah, he chose Oregon State over Montana. Guess what? If he wouldn't have committed to Montana way too early, I think he would have had Cal and Washington State and Arizona all over him. I think he's the best pure thrower I've seen in Oregon since Connor Neville. Connor Neville went to Washington State, was a 4-star quarterback, wanted to get an Elite 11 invite, and was the quarterback MVP of at least one Elite 11 regional camp. Connor Neville had off-the-field issues, and I don't have any problem saying that because it was well-publicized and it was a big deal, and has since transferred away from Washington State. But you couldn't argue with the arm talent of a guy like Connor Neville out of Wilsonville, who was the Gatorade Player of the Year. Sam Vidlak spins it as well, maybe better. Connor Neville was a 4-star prospect. He just got more exposure. Sam Vidlak is every bit as good. It's a great, great get for Oregon State. Speaking of great gets, Easton Mascarenhas, I talked about him on the show. He was the highest rated defensive prospect, high school defensive prospect the program had ever gotten, according to 24/7 Sports. So then Rivals is about to update their rankings. And I'm thinking, okay, Easton clearly on film is one of the biggest hitters I've seen. Go watch his film. Like, listen, even Oregon State fan who thinks Nimmick hates us. Well, even if you think that, I'll give you this compliment. And you're, by the way, you're wrong. But even I, the biggest hater on earth when it comes to Oregon State.
Oh, you said it.
Supposedly, in air quotes, thinks this kid is a monster. He's a monster. He's one of the top 10 inside linebackers in the country. He's 6 feet tall, 210 pounds. He will never be an elite blue chip prospect because he's 6 feet tall. And you know how rankings work. If you're not 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", at middle linebacker, they're going to go, eh, what's his NFL ceiling? But in terms of a program changer, in terms of a thumper, in terms of a kid who doesn't care who he's lining up against, he just wants to knock people's heads off, I want that guy. If I can have 11 guys with his mentality and his toughness on defense, my defense is going places. So I'm thinking Rivals barely has him rated. So they have to bump him up into their new top 50 because he's clearly a top 50 talent in the country. Pop in his film. If you don't believe me, pop in his film. If you don't believe me, try to track down quotes from the 24/7 guys about how good this kid is. He's one of the top 10 inside linebackers in the country. They come out with their rankings, and he's something like the 54th or the 46th best outside linebacker in the country in Rivals rankings. He's a low 3-star. First of all, if you're going to evaluate a kid, get his position right. Because there are kids now, I mean, fine, you want to say linebacker and he's a versatile linebacker, I'm cool with it. But this is a kid who's being recruited exclusively at inside linebacker. He's an inside linebacker. So then you rank him and knock him for not being a great edge rusher because he's too small. He's not an edge rusher. He's an inside linebacker, an elite one at that. So first of all, evaluate him at the right position. And then let's stop doing the crap where, oh, he committed to Oregon State. He must not be elite. Let's put in the film and watch how good these guys are. It drives me insane. And we'll talk about the good side of Rivals rankings a little later in the show because it went extremely well for some Oregon Ducks. A couple of Oregon Ducks skyrocketed up the list. But I thought Easton Mascarenhas was a guarantee jump to four-star status. Just, he was hurt. He missed time. He came back. He proved he was every bit as good as all the people who hyped him up. So, of course, he should be a four-star prospect. He moved down. I don't know how it's possible. And sometimes you just have to throw out the rankings. And we've talked about this, and I've told people this before. Justin Herbert was a guy who was not rated. And I said, I went to the Elite 11. He's one of the best five or six quarterbacks in the nation. I don't care what anybody says. He's not rated. Doesn't matter. Wait for the rankings to catch up. And eventually the rankings catch up. I'm telling you, Oregon State fan, you got yourself a gem. The rankings will catch up. 24/7 in this case is right. Rivals, dead wrong. Easton Mascarenhas is a dude. By the way, Sam Vidlak, only a two-star. Watch him jump up to a mid to high three, even if he doesn't play, because someone's just going to put on the film and go, oops, we forgot to check out the 3A kid from Oregon. Our bad. Because now that he's a Pac-12 commit, everybody who just said, let's slap two stars on him. He's got an offer from Montana. He's committed to Montana. We'll give him two star. Good for the kid. They'll watch his film and go, oh, yeah, he can play. He can spin it. It's lazy. There's a lot of laziness in recruiting. And it's not hard to find it. You can go to that Elite 11 and see five-star guy and go, there's no way that dude's making it. None. Head case. None. No chance. There was a five-star linebacker who went to the Elite 11. Went to the Nike opening camp. And after one day, he was committed to Alabama. After one day, I was like, there's no way that kid's making it through school. There's no way. Kicked out of school the first year at Alabama. Five-star recruit. So on signing day, he was like, yeah, we got this five-star linebacker. No, you didn't. Trust me, he's not going to make it. There's always a story underneath the story, and the rankings are always behind. Sam Vidlak on his way up, Easton Mascarenhas on his way up. On the next segment, I'll tell you a couple guys who, for the last several months, I've been hearing nothing but glowing things about, who, of course, in the Rivals updated rankings, jumped up a whole bunch nationally. We'll talk about that next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. In the last segment, we talked about the Rivals rankings. Specifically, the updated rankings listing Easton Mascarenhas, the Oregon State commit, as a three-star prospect, and how they're off there. I mean, there's just no other way to say it. You got to watch his film. You got to look past the fact, I guess, if you're a national guy that he committed to Oregon State, and just say this kid can play. I mean, yeah, he's committed to Oregon State. He had multiple offers around the Pac-12, and he's a dude. I mean, just watch his film. It drives me nuts sometimes to look at the rankings because fans are caught up in the rankings, and to some extent they should be. But I've also said over and over and over that the rankings are often way behind what people are hearing behind the scenes. And if you've listened to this show the last few months, I've talked about, and again, coronavirus has me all messed up on time. It could have been 4 months ago. It could have been 3 weeks ago. I can't keep track. Sometime in this time where I'm stuck at home all the time, I know that I talked about the fact that Tyler Shuck and Kyron Ware Hudson, two Oregon Duck commits, were killing it in early spring on the camp circuit. That Tyler Shuck. I said Tyler Shuck, didn't I?
Yeah.
Ty Thompson. Excuse me. Ty Thompson.
Are you sure this wasn't last year?
Yeah. Ty Thompson was great 2 years ago in the camp circuit. Ty Thompson. And I heard from another quarterback parent that they went to a camp and there were multiple elite quarterbacks there. And the sentiment among the dads watching was, who's that kid? And it was Ty Thompson, who'd not yet committed to Oregon. And people were talking about him potentially being an elite quarterback. Well, Rivals updated their rankings, and he jumped more than double the number of spots as any other prospect in the entire country. Ty Thompson jumps up 146 spots in the national rankings. It is now the number 76 quarterback or number 76 prospect in the country overall. Number 76. That's a top five or six quarterback all time to commit to the Oregon Ducks football program. Now you go back to his commitment. He committed and was a mid to low four-star prospect. And I know this isn't all Oregon Duck fans, so by no means am I throwing people on, you know, Oregon fan entirely under the bus. But there were fans who go, man, that kid's a low four-star. Seems like we could do a lot better with the way Cristobal's recruiting. And all I was hearing was, Oregon just got a guy who's about to jump and be one of the top quarterbacks in the country. And then when he committed, we said on the show, he's one of the, I think he's one of the top five or six quarterbacks in the country. He's now right on that edge of being a top handful of quarterbacks in the entire country. That's how good he is. That's how good he was when he committed. But the rankings hadn't yet reflected it. Similar story for Kyron Ware-Hudson, the younger brother of Keon Ware-Hudson, who's an Oregon defensive lineman. Kyron Ware-Hudson, who's kind of a baby Bolden. He was on the show. We nicknamed him Baby Bolden because he's a physical receiver, doesn't get a lot of separation. But he's great at the catch point. He makes acrobatic catches. He's got a huge catch radius, and he's not afraid to go up and get it. Well, Kyron Ware-Hudson jumped up the third most spots of any player in the country and is now a top 100 prospect nationally and is one of the top five or six wide receiver commits in program history. When he committed, it was like, oh, we got, you know, he's a good four-star athlete. That's great. Oregon usually recruits really highly. Cristobal kills it. You know, this kid's great, but he's probably 100 spots lower than what we'd like. Well, behind the scenes, the talk was, this kid is a monster. So it is funny. Sometimes be patient with the rankings. Sometimes understand that the conversation is a whole lot different than what other people or what is publicly known. You look at Kingsley, and Kingsley's a kid who could end up being a five-star prospect. He's got the Sewell genes. In the past, he hasn't taken football quite as seriously as some other kids. Doesn't mean he doesn't take it seriously. He just hasn't fully committed and fully gone all in on weightlifting and doing all that stuff. He's let himself grow. He's had fun with it because he's 16 years old, and he's already 6'6", you know, 290 pounds or whatever he is. So sometimes these kids just need to hit the weight room and get it figured out. And Kingsley might end up being one of the top one or two tackles in the entire country. It's just going to take a little bit of time. The rankings don't necessarily always reflect that, but it's there. And it is funny. It works both ways. It works that way with Easton Mascarenhas. And here we are talking about, yeah, I heard that Ty Thompson was one of the best quarterbacks in the country. I heard Kyron Ware-Hudson was one of the best 10 receivers in the country. Not when they committed, but now finally the rankings reflect what we've been hearing for months.
Well, going back even further than that, you know, I think of some guys over at Oregon State that, you know, you had somebody like the Rogers brothers, where really when James came on, you know, he wasn't even thought of as a serious recruit whatsoever until Danny Langsdorf, the offensive coordinator, got a tape of him as a cornerback playing in a Texas All-Star game in which he basically was playing press man coverage. Quarterback threw it to a receiver on a just swinging door screen. Rogers just ran up, took the ball from him, and ran into the end zone. And he was like, he just turned the tape off. He's like, oh yeah, I have to go meet this kid. And so he went over and met him. And then he mostly played defense, but he did play some running back and some receiver. And he was like, yeah, I think we could use you on offense. And I think you see that so much, and maybe not as much now, just because of the fact that technology is so much more pervasive. You know, these guys, they have cell phones. They're able to post their tape on Huddle and on, Twitter and, you know, get it out through social media that more and more people know about it. But, you know, at a time like that, even back in 2007, 2006, you know, you could be that incredible talent and you're just not known yet.
Yeah.
You're in small communities. It just doesn't happen for some guys that way.
Yeah. And it's so often, you know, I'm a big proponent of recruiting ranks. I think generally they do a good job. I do. But I also think it's really important to know where you are in the calendar, because early on, sometimes rankings don't reflect what the kid is. I know there was a Pac-12 quarterback commit who at one point was considered the number one or number two quarterback in the country. And he committed his freshman or sophomore year in high school. And by the start of his senior year, I felt like he was a high three-star kid at best. and he dropped like 70 spots in the rankings. Then you talk to the rankings guys and it's like, listen, we can't drop this kid anymore. It's brutal for the kid, but yeah, he's not great. And that school ended up taking two other quarterbacks and the kid is going to transfer. He's not going to win the starting job. You can tell just by the way it's played out. And it's funny sometimes how the politics of it don't necessarily reflect what we see. Then there are situations like Justin Flo, the five-star linebacker who SportsCenter, SportsCenter's Twitter account, obviously ESPN SportsCenter, just tweeted a couple of his tackles. It's like, oh my gosh, this kid is a monster. I don't think people really fully understand. I think people got excited about Noah Sewell. I think Dante Manning committed during an All-American game, so people were excited about that. Kayvon Thibodeau was the number one recruit in the nation the year before. I know people celebrated Justin Flo. I know Oregon fans were excited about Justin Flo. But I don't think they fully realize how good people think he's going to be. I'll tell you next on Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 1080 The Fan. So because we are in the midst of a pandemic shutdown, I feel like there's a lot of people, and we've seen a lot of these lists, the top 10 athletes of all time, the top 10 Miami teams of all time, the top 10 Oregon teams of all time, the top 10 Oregon State teams of all time, the top 10 Oregon quarterbacks of all time. We're coming up with a lot of lists. So of course, I find myself a little bit guilty, but I don't want to do it quite the same way because, frankly, it gets boring. I'd rather, in recruiting, it's all about teasing what's coming next, the future. So I only went back 1 year. I went back and looked at Justin Flo. Not only is his highlight tape unbelievable, but I actually looked at where he ranks all time among commits. And if you haven't checked this out, I highly recommend it. 24/7 Sports does a ranking of all time recruits because you don't just get 5-star, 4-star, 3-star. They actually have a scale. And you're like a 0.99 is like as high as you get or whatever, all the way down. Where he's ranked all time in the history of recruiting in high school football, he's a top 10 inside linebacker all time in the history of high school football. He's the highest rated inside linebacker. And again, Noah Sewell also very high on this list. I think he's in the top 15 inside linebackers of all time. But Justin Flo is the highest rated inside linebacker recruit since 2009. Any guesses on who that might be? Or did you already see it?
I haven't seen it yet, though.
2009 became
recruit.
A college superstar.
At inside linebacker?
Yes. The last superstar inside linebacker in college football.
Monte Teo.
There you go. Yeah. Monte Teo. He of the fake girlfriend. Monte.
Man, that wasn't his fault, though.
Yes, it was.
It wasn't his fault. He didn't know.
Yes, it was. It was his fault.
You genuinely think he made this girlfriend up?
No. But it's his fault. Dude, if you're that dude, he could pull any girl on campus. Why are you hooking up with some fake girl dude on Facebook?
Whoa. We did not confirm if it was a girl, dude.
Well, yeah, it was a guy.
Oh, it was?
The person faking the girl was a guy.
Oh, whoops.
It was like his cousin or something, right?
I don't know. All I know is that Deadspin broke it. Nobody took it seriously until then, like, ESPN picked it up.
And then there was that weird time where people thought he was in on it and he faked it. But it's weird that, like, ESPN did articles about the fact that she died, and they did that, you know, like, Game Day did their, like, feature on the fact that she died. And no one ever thought, like, let's interview her parents.
Dude, it is gut-wrenching. That is one of the more gut-wrenching moments from college football.
Other than, like, so there's O.J. Simpson, for obvious reasons. Monte Teo, is there any other college athlete who had something happen off the field that no matter how big their star shined, that's all they are? Like, it wouldn't matter if Monte Teo was a 7-time Pro Bowler. We'd still say the dude with the fake girlfriend.
I might. It's not a player, but I would go Penn State. But that's neither here nor there. Those are coaches.
Uncool.
Well, I'm just saying that will follow them.
It's those two. Because Reggie Bush, like, no one cares. Everybody remembers Reggie Bush as the spectacular on-field talent. Nobody cares about his Heisman getting pulled. Who cares? Pull OJs. Really? You're going to pull Reggie Bush's and not OJs? Give me a break.
Like Ricky Williams, maybe you'd have something.
No way. No way.
Then, all I remember Ricky Williams from is honestly his just like amazing 2 years in the pros and then getting hurt.
Yeah. Wearing the dress on ESPN Magazine with Mike Ditka.
Yeah.
Being an all-time leading rusher. He broke the record on like a 48-yard touchdown run or something like that. One of those Ricky Williams runs where he bursts through the line and runs over two dudes. That's how he broke the rushing record. So you remember that and you go, yeah, he's phenomenal.
What about who's the running back out of Ohio State, the freshman?
Maurice Claret tore up his knee.
Yeah, Maurice Claret might be on there because he left way too early.
But that was an on-field thing that he tore up his knee. That's what we remember.
Yeah.
I'm saying an off-the-field thing where you just like can't look past it. Superstar athlete who no one looks past. It's O.J. Simpson murder and Monte Teo fake girlfriend. That's your list.
Dude, you are putting those two in the same breath right now.
Not as human beings in terms of their off-the-field stuff, which is vastly different.
Yeah.
Dramatically altering the way we look at their resume.
Yeah,
absolutely. They're the same in that regard only. I'd rather my sister date Monte Teo than OJ Simpson.
Yeah. I think you'd be safe with that pick. That's a good one, I'd say.
I didn't think I'd say that.
That's using your brain.
At some point during the show. That wasn't. We don't have to pull that out and make that a sound clip, but we can just move on.
Working in the Pac-12, I would say, or Pac-10 at that point, Vontaze Burfict. Vontaze Burfict, Will, if you knew who Vontaze Burfict was in college, like...
Oh, he's a monster.
That bro was straight up just not good people.
But he was an amazing, amazing football player.
Yes, he was. He leaped over me.
Amazing. Did he really?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, we played against him, and it was on a pitch taxi play, and I was the lead blocker.
Oh, boy.
And I had the inclination, like, seeing him. I'd watched him in film that week. I was like, wow, this guy's really good.
Got to take him low.
Yeah, I go, no, there's no way I'm facing this guy.
Got to cut him at the knees.
Up.
Right.
I try to cut him. He literally just jumps over my entire body and makes the tackle. And then the next day when we watched on film, my coach was playing back and he goes, well, there's nothing you can do about that. He literally just went back. He just goes, yeah, he's better than you. So, all right.
Marcus Greaves, who used to produce the show, also played at Oregon State. He has a funny one. We're on a kickoff. I think they were playing Ohio State and it was young Chase Young running down the field. And he... air quotes here, missed his blocking assignment. And the running back coach at the time came up to him and was like, good business decision. Just like teasing him, but also at the same time, like, I get it.
Yeah.
And I don't blame you.
Yeah, dude. There were...
No, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't of the one who would like shy away from hitting dudes, but if I knew somebody was far stronger than me, I would try to maneuver it.
Hey, there are different ways to approach blocking a dude who's way, way bigger than you. And that's not wimping out. That's just understanding the reality that if you go face mask to face mask, you're ending up on your back.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all she wrote.
You're done.
Justin Flo, though, is where we were going before I brought up O.J. Simpson and Monte Teo.
In the same sentence.
See, and Monte Teo, anytime he comes up, he immediately sidetracks the conversation. Have you ever heard a Monte Teo football discussion that didn't go completely off the rails?
Well,
ever. Ever.
No, I haven't. And honestly, I'm going to get flack for this. I honestly didn't think Monte Teo was that good at at Notre Dame.
He wasn't.
He just got a lot of picks. That was it. He got a S ton of interceptions for an inside linebacker.
Their offense wasn't very good. It was a good year. They had to have somebody. He was a legitimate top 6 or 7 linebacker in the country.
Good. He was good.
In the country.
But not
but he
Heisman.
Was not the no. Heisman, dude. No, come on. No, silliness. But Justin Flo, higher rated on the all-time rankings. Get this list. This list is incredible. Justin Flo is a higher rated prospect. Is just a rated prospect coming out of high school than Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Marlon Humphrey, and we've talked about this a bunch on the show. DJ Uiagalelei was the number one recruit in the nation for a long time. The quarterback that committed to Clemson over Oregon. Oregon moves on, gets Jay Butterfield. In the all-time rankings, DJ Uiagalelei ended up falling quite a bit. Justin Flo in the all-time rankings is more than 100 spots higher than DJ Uiagalelei, who was the number one recruit in the nation for more than a year. Justin Flo is a monster. This is a kid who we're talking about and people are talking about as the best inside linebacker to come out of the state of California or even the West region since Vontaze Burfict. Only not the issues with off the field. And oh yeah, by the way, he's coming in with Noah Sewell, who also is one of the top inside linebacker recruits to come out of America since 2009. It's unbelievable. I don't think Oregon fan realizes, because Oregon fans had that great quarterback that's a Heisman guy, that's a high draft pick. Oregon hasn't had a lot of elite NFL prospects on defense. They've had guys that got the job done. Nick Reed was a monster. DeForest Buckner was great. And Eric Armstead as well. Two guys that were first round draft picks and really quality players. But they haven't consistently had those front seven guys in their history that's like, that dude might be the most intimidating defensive player in the country. And they might have three of the Pac-12's best five next year. Not this coming year, but the following year when those guys are sophomores. That's how good they are. Noah Sewell and Justin Flo are not coming in to play a little bit. Those guys are coming in to be all conference talents. That's how good they're supposed to be. Anything less than Justin Flo and Noah Sewell being guys that whenever they hit the field again, you're going, those two dudes are real ones. Those are five-star recruits. Would be a disappointment. They were monsters. Justin Flo gave a half effort at the Polynesian Bowl practices. He didn't even participate most of the days because they had him fly out like 3 or 4 days before everybody else to do all the photo shoots because he looked so dang good in the uniforms. That's for real, to market the event. They just had him pose in a uniform. It's like, yep, first guy off the bus, that kind of thing. But they want him to do one practice, and he's far and away the MVP of the practice. They said mentally, physically, just so obviously the best player there. There was a camp where Justin Flo and Noah Sewell were there, and they ended up at the camp for All-American guys. They ended up, it was the cat and mouse event where they stand, you know, like 10 to 15 yards apart, running back stands and has the ball, linebacker turns his back, and you only have about a 12-yard wide area, and you've got to get past the linebacker, and he pursues you into this, you know, like hallway, essentially. Mm-hmm. They were so much better than everyone else there that Justin Flo and Noah Sewell, not by a coach's decision, by the player's decision, all the other 4 and 5 stars just got out of the way. And Justin Flo and Noah Sewell just took turns against 4 and 5 star running backs, just like, nope, 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 not getting by me, chuck you out of bounds, toss you on the ground, no thank you. That's how good these guys are. And I think people think, yeah, 5-star guy, great. Oregon's got some 5-star guys before that you go, maybe. Justin Flo is way higher on the all-time recruiting rankings than Haloti Ngata. Like, I don't think people realize how historically great Justin Flo is supposed to be. This is a kid who is considered an all-time linebacker prospect. If you made an all-time team from the state of California, he'd probably be one of your two starting inside linebackers. That's how good he is. I think it just gets lost in the shuffle. Oregon got 3 5-star guys. That's wonderful. Noah Sewell is the younger brother of Penei Sewell. He's going to be amazing, and he is. But understand that Justin Flo might end up being Brian Urlacher good. He might end up being an all-timer. And don't just take my word for it. Look at the rankings on 24/7. They think he's better than Chase Young, than Haloti Ngata, than Nick Bosa, than Marlon Humphrey, than DJ Uiagalelei in the all-time list by over 100 spots. I just don't think we fully understand when you've got Kayvon Thibodeau, who's one of the best defensive end recruits in history and proving it early, and then you're going to have Noah Sewell and Justin Flo in your front seven. It is nasty. It is nasty.
So,
just a second. I got to hose off. Okay, I'm good.
It's a quick hose.
Careful.
I want to circle back around to somebody on the text line made a good one for the, is there any other college football player in history who is associated with an event?
Okay.
Or an off the field event more than Mate Teo.
Or O.J. Simpson.
Or O.J. Simpson.
Let's get to it. After the break, thank you for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nimick on 10 of the Fan. We'll be back. As is often the case, we don't often mention Mate Teo, but when one does, the conversation is almost always sidetracked, which brought up the question, are there any two athletes in college football who have whose off-the-field activities have derailed their legacy more than O.J. Simpson and Monte Teo? Where we kind of don't even mention how good they were in college. We think O.J. Simpson, murderer, allegedly. Monte Teo,
double murderer, allegedly.
The most famous catfished human ever.
So there's a couple on the text line.
Okay.
And I think this is important.
Send them in. Let's go.
Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah. You know, here's what I'd say about that. Aaron Hernandez was not that famous in college.
No, he wasn't.
He was like a third or fourth round pick, and everyone thought that might be a reach because he had injuries all the way through, and the Patriots were going for that two tight end system, and they took Rob Gronkowski, who had back issues earlier in the draft, and then they took Aaron Hernandez.
Overshadowed by Tebow and it was the Tebow, Percy Harvin.
And what's weird is that team was considered like the very Christian team because of Tebow, yeah. And they had something like 46 arrests on the roster. I don't think people realize that. But anyway, I disagree with that one because he wasn't a household name in college, although that is a good one.
Johnny Manziel.
Johnny Football. I think his off-the-field stuff, he was a bust in the NFL, but I still think when people think of him, there are a lot of people who still think Johnny Football. And the reason you say Johnny Football is because he was so incredible on the field. Yes, he's still a bust. He's still a huge bust. But what's his one off the field thing where people don't remember how amazing he was? Personally, yeah, I always thought he wouldn't be a good pro. And yeah, he was always a knucklehead. But man, the kid did work some magic for Texas A&M.
So, and then somebody also throws in a local one, Colt Lierla. But here's what I want to do.
Colt Lierla wasn't a household name in football. Here's the other one that I thought of during the break. Ryan Leaf. People don't even remember that Ryan Leaf was genuinely right there neck and neck with Peyton Manning as a better college quarterback prospect. And there were people who thought Ryan Leaf should have been number one. He led Washington State to the Rose Bowl. I don't believe did they win the Rose Bowl?
No, they lost.
So he took him to the Rose Bowl. He was unbelievable. He was a Heisman finalist. All anyone remembers was that he flamed out with the San Diego Chargers and had all kinds of off-the-field issues. And by the way, good for him. He has cleaned up his act and is doing much better. I hope that continues for him.
So here's what I want to do now.
Oh, boy.
Because with Monte Teo and O.J. Simpson, there are just two words for each of them that all you got to do is just say it to describe them and their legacy. Monte Teo, fake girlfriend.
Catfished.
Yeah, or catfished. O.J. Simpson, double murder.
Allegedly.
Sure, okay, three words. But if you go down the list of these ones that were here, like, say, Colt Lierla.
Complicated.
Well,
he wasn't a household name in college football. Monte Teo was a household name in college football. O.J. Simpson was the household name in college football. It's different.
And Johnny Manziel. He just partied a lot, and he was kind of a jerk, you know. Aaron Hernandez, he was just kind of questionable. He got arrested.
He eventually became a household name as a superstar with the Patriots with Brady, and then he had some off-the-field issues. Yeah, you're right.
But it's a good point you make with Monte Teo because literally that is all you think of if somebody – it's not as confusing as even Johnny Football where you're like, he partied a lot. He was kind of a jerk. No, it's just, fake girlfriend.
Can you imagine – you've been in locker rooms. I've been in some locker rooms. Can you imagine – if you had a fake girlfriend and then you got drafted and went to the NFL, how much hazing you'd go through? I mean, it had to have been
in the league.
In the league.
Yeah.
Because at Notre Dame, he was big man on campus. So it was like people felt bad for him, but nobody to his face was going to be like, you are a clown, bro. When he went to the NFL, I guarantee you people were like, hey, excuse me, Monte, you can't bring your girlfriend in the locker room. When he walked in for the first time, and she's like, obviously not, there's nobody there. It's like, excuse me, miss, you're going to have to leave the locker room. I mean, I guarantee that's all they did. Hey, 12 people on the field. Monte, your girlfriend's behind you. Can't bring her out on the field. I mean, all kinds of stuff. I guarantee you he just got absolutely blasted. By the way, do we have any idea how his pro career went? I don't.
Monte Teo? Well, I think he was on the Chargers.
I think he was a journeyman linebacker. Was he ever good at all?
He was pretty good.
Was he a Madden 82 overall?
Yeah, that's probably fair.
Okay.
Monte Teo had a fine career.
Okay.
But, you know, see, that's the thing.
Who cares?
He had a fine career compared to what his college was because, again, that's the only thing we know. Fake girlfriend.
Yeah.
I bet you you'd even say fake girlfriend before you'd say Heisman finalist.
Are you for real? That's what I'm saying. O.J. Simpson, you don't say Heisman
National
winner.
Title contender.
You say murderer. The only other guy I can really think of that's on this list is like Ray Carruth, but he wasn't big in college. He was decent in the NFL and was more. Ray Rice is one in the NFL that people now know more about that than, you know, the abuse than his NFL career. But that's different. We're talking about guys who, in one word, their entire sport existence is completely wiped out by one word.
Tim Tebow, virgin, from the text line. That's a pretty good right now.
Golf clap. Bravo. It's true. It's true.
Cause for real, like.
No, I get it. I like how you, cause for real. No, I believe me. I get it. Cause for real.
It's just, it sucks. Cause like, Tim Tebow was really friggin' good. He was a really good college quarterback.
Yes.
But like, that's pretty much what I'm going to remember. He was a good with Christ guy. Who was a virgin.
You laugh. This poor dude.
Lawrence Phillips too.
AC Green, virgin.
That's true.
And his is like, his virginity was like a thing that people talked about. I mean, it overshadowed his career a little bit. I mean, AC Green went into the NBA as like the virgin guy. Not ideal.
I got a long story about AC Green.
No.
We can tell another time.
How long?
It's pretty long. Okay. It's great, though.
Oregon is going to land some commitments here before the month is over, and we're going to have to cover them. We'll try to get them on the air. I'm sure if we want them, we can have them. It won't be too difficult. We've got to go, actually. It's been an hour. I can't believe it. We had a good time. Thank you, as always, for listening to Recruiting with Andrew Nemec on 10A The Fan. Appreciate you.
Thanks for joining us for Recruiting with Andrew Nemec, the show for college recruiting fans with the inside story on the Ducks, the Beavers, the national recruiting scene, and high school prospects across Oregon and Southwest Washington. Read Andrew's latest recruiting news in the Oregonian and Oregon Live, and listen for Andrew's updates throughout the week here on Portland's Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.